Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
There we go. Welcome, everybody. It is the Craft Beer News segment for December 8th, 2023. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. I truly appreciate it. Friday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, we record every single Friday night. Join us on Twitch Live, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Join us in the chat, as many people were, for our first segment talking about craft beer gifts to give, including, of course, on our YouTube page, Wafo, on our Twitch page, Bats McGee and Muttbone, and of course on our Facebook page, Jocelyn. Thank you all for participating. We are back with the craft beer news. But first, what are we all drinking? Starting with Rob. Rob, what you got?
Now I have a Madtown Nut Brown, which is Advent Day 3.
I'm catching up. Wendy?
Well, I finished my Koonin's Light Devil, since I just saw Beverly Koonin hop on the chat. And I'm finishing up another can of the Drafting Table Buzz Blanket.
Daniel?
Still working on that White Russian. In addition, I've got a bacon and eggs.
For myself, I did not get anything else specific. I just finished the Wolverine Massacre, and I am now on to the Rochester Mills Milkshake Stout. Officially, if you guys did not know, not that they sponsor us, but as a friendly gift to them, they are doing the 12 Days of Milkshake Stout at the Brew Pub. So different than the actual brewery and production facility. They're not going to be able to hand out 12-day 12 packs, but they are still doing 12 days of milkshake stout for you to be able to drink at the Brew Pub. So go check it out. Of course, you can always check out, say, our sponsor, that is North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. Plenty of great beer over there. We talked about games you might play, like a wall beer pong as opposed to a long beer pong. They have that long shuffleboard that you can go play. Kevin's actually really good at it. If you challenge him and beat him, he tells me he'll give you a free beer, but then he'll also tell me that that's a lie. So no promises. So
do they do a 12 days of Nice Bloobs?
They do not. Nice Bloobs is their holiday beer, though. So I know it has been released as of recent. I've been waiting to get a keg of Bobby English from them. Which is what I want. So here's to hopefully Kevin hearing this and getting a keg of that beer to me. With that, it is the craft beer news segment, and we are going to start with Rob. Rob, what did you want to talk about today?
Well, today I found an article about, weird shit and beer, because everybody does it. And this one is red cabbage and peas and green peas. And it's apparently a traditional Christmas dinner in Iceland. So it's being done in an Icelandish brewery. Red cabbage and peas. They say it goes in smelling like vegetables and it comes out tasting pretty good. But it leads me to the question, what traditional Christmas food would you want or not want in your beer from your local brewery?
So for me, the only thing I could think of is either like we do a cucumbers and cream type of dish, Polish dish. So maybe something like maybe dill with some type of, I don't know if you could.
Now, there are definitely pickle and dill beers out there.
For sure. That's why like a cucumbers and cream, or the only other thing like is the sweets, which is a krustiki, which is basically powdered sugar over a deep fried piece of bread. So I mean, like a powdered sugar beer, maybe. I don't know if you can get powdered sugar as a flavor of beer.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. That's interesting, though.
Those are really the only two things that kind of come to mind. That's a Christmas food that I would want. I'm not a big like sweet eater. I do like sweet in my beer, but like sweet eater, I'm not a big pie guy. Like I like pumpkin pie and I don't want whipped cream on it. Just give me the regular ass pumpkin pie. I'm boring like that. So, I mean, those are my thoughts. I don't know if you guys have maybe other family traditions that you can.
So before I moved in with Graham, I lived with this guy named Adam for a lot of years. One of my best friends, awesome guy, amazing baker. And he makes Yule logs every year for Christmas. I would totally love a Yule log pastry stout. That would be amazing.
Wait, you mean like the thing you put in the fireplace?
No, a Yule log is a, it's a chocolate cake type thing. And it,
these
creams and you roll it up and when you cut it, it's supposed to look like, it looks like a log because it's covered in a chocolate ganache, but it's
a sponge cake filled with mascarpone whipped cream covered with whipped chocolate ganache.
It's so good. I would love a Yule log pastry stout.
Now, I've got a weird Christmas tradition. On Christmas Day for the last, this will be year number 7, I make carnitas. No, being in the Southwest is just kind of a thing. But that already kind of falls into that Scrapple territory for that Scrapple beer. So don't want to do that. So, Ken, I'm going to go to the Christmas Eve tradition, also being a Polish, of Polish descent. How about a kielbasa stout?
I was curious because growing up, we were Roman Catholic growing up, and with the Polish tradition, we actually celebrated a meatless Christmas Eve.
Did you really?
So we either, depending on the year, depending on the family, most of the time it was just a Christmas Eve that was meatless. But there are times where you would go to midnight mass, and then you would eat after midnight mass, because that's technically Christmas Day. So you would celebrate meatless Christmas Eve by eating meat on Christmas Day. I don't know where it came from. I'm fairly certain it is a Polish Roman Catholic tradition, as it came from my grandmother. We do not celebrate that anymore.
I can't think of the name of it, where you get the square, you know, the stuff they use for communion. Did you do that on Christmas?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the name of it, where you'd get like a square either. And you were supposed to like bite break off it. A little bit, break off a little bit for blessing. I'm trying to remember the name of it and I can't think of it either. But yes, we did.
We could throw those into a beer, but they don't taste like anything. So
it might not be.
I think there was a communion wafer beer sometime back. Yeah.
Was there really?
Yeah. Because everybody has put weird shit into beer at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Pierogies factor heavily into my Christmas tradition around here. For a while, we were making them ourselves and then eating them Christmas Eve. But we have not made them for a little while.
Just buy them? Or do you?
Yeah, just buy them. Exactly. Yeah. Just buy them, fry up some onions and some bacon, and you're all set.
I'm looking at it, and there's definitely a lot of different names to it based on Polish, Lithuanian, Slovak, but it's basically just like a Christmas wafer. That's the name of it. I could not tell you what we called it at.
There's some Polish name for it.
Oh, for sure. I just can't
think of what it is.
And I see the Polish name, and there's no way I would know how to pronounce it off the top of my head. And looking at it, like when I see words like punchki or gwumpki or something like that, like I recognize the word, but like this word right here, it's OPLATEK. And I'm like, I have no idea how the hell that was actually pronounced.
No clue.
And if we had an Americanized version of even that. So Dan wants some type of meat based stout. Wendy's saying no
kielbasa.
Meat does not belong in beer. It's the one time I would say bacon does not make things better.
I've only had a couple of bacon beers and they've been okay. Rogue made a good one.
It's more the bacon smoky flavor than it is bacon.
Yeah.
I don't think the fat does so good in the beer.
Remember when everyone Remember when everyone was like obsessed with bacon for a few years and they made that bacon vodka, like bacon or whatever?
You can still get bacon. Yeah, that's good for Bloody Marys. You can still get that. Yeah.
Nope, not for me.
No? Are you a Bloody Mary guy or no?
No, I'm not a Bloody Mary guy either.
Rob, what about you? Bloody Mary guy?
Not particularly. No, it's the tomatoes. I don't like tomato juice. I love tomatoes.
Fair.
I just want vodka.
I will do a Caesar when I'm in Canada sometimes.
So I try to stay away from flavored vodka because whatever they use to flavor it, I don't know how they do it, but that sticks with me till like well into the next day, even if I only had one or two. Like, I love a spicy vodka. It's like I shouldn't have drank that. I don't know if it's the oil or whatever they do to flavor it, but ugh. But mix it into a bloody. Yeah, I'm in.
You know what I really like in a Bloody Mary is Aquavit.
We did that. I remember when he was on the show, the Aquavit guy. Yeah, I still need to try that. I still have some in the cupboard.
I've replaced my bottle plenty.
You can actually get, I don't know if you can get Norden over in Arizona, but most Total Wines in their aperitif section, cordial section, will have at least a couple of Aquavits. Every time I've gone to one across the U.S., there's definitely been one. Dan, what do you want to talk about today?
All right. So I want to hear the opinions on this. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Yes, this article came out yesterday, but our good friends over at White Claw are planning on putting out a 0% seltzer. This is to target the Gen Z and millennial people out there, generations. There are four flavors. They are putting out black cherry cranberry, mango passion fruit, peach orange blossom, and lime yuzu. So this is my opinion. I want to hear yours. We have officially jumped the seltzer shark. If I want a non-alcoholic seltzer, there's a great brand out there called LaCroix. They have tons of flavors, and they also make a non-flavored one. So what's everyone's opinion? Ken, you know I come to you first. Have we jumped the shark on White Claw seltzer?
So I thought we jumped the shark when White Claw came out with the flavorless alcoholic
See, I would do that. I'm down with that. I'll take an alcoholic non-flavored one because sparkling water is probably what I drink more than anything. So that's great. And I remember those came out a while ago. There was another brand that put those out
too. I feel like that was a Matt Bush commentary that we had one time.
Yeah, he went off about, he loved it too.
That flavorless seltzer seems like it would be a good mixer if you didn't. Yeah, exactly. So if you didn't have enough alcohol because the seltzer was watering it down.
I'll mix flavored like a White Claw with a shot of vodka. It's kind of good.
Here's the thing. What's the price point that is going to be for these? Because I just can't imagine why you would want to buy.
If the LaCroix was too inexpensive for you before, then now you have an option.
It does not say in the article the price point. But yeah, I can't imagine a reason to buy one of these. What about you, Rob?
No, I'm with you. I think it's, well, it might be the new cycle of the way to, it's a new version of stuff like shrinkflation and things where they repackage the same products, but find a way to charge us more for them. So maybe that's what we're getting to next.
And it mentions in here, you know, they mention they're trying to compete with things like hop water, hop tea, and athletic brewing. Okay, I guess LaCroix is in the same competition.
Yeah, but there's hop water at least gives you flavor. Like,
yeah,
hop water, hop tea. NA beer is NA beer. This is just seltzer flavored water.
Seltzer.
Yeah, like the Lagunitas hop water, the seltzer, those are great. You know, they're, especially if you want to have something that tastes like alcohol but isn't. And then what about you, Wendy? Are you buying these to, because you like to try everything?
No. So
are you
picking? No, I'm not buying those. while you were reading the story, I was thinking, isn't that LaCroix? So when you said it, I was like, yeah.
Wasn't there a New York seltzer came in a little glass bottle, something like that?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I forgot those about awesome. Those
back in the
yeah.
day.
That's these.
They had lots of flavors. That's these though.
Yes. Oh, that raspberry. That's the only time I've ever liked raspberry in a drink like that.
The New York seltzer.
Was the I New forgot York
all
seltzer.
About those. Looking, are those still a thing?
I don't know what those are.
It was like, it was right around the time Clearly Canadian was really popular.
New York seltzer went out of business in 1994.
Yeah, right.
Showing our age here.
Yeah,
this is coming like even like in yeah. cases like a beer, like their beer. It's amazing.
I was drinking them in high school, so
I am happy to see these labels again. I hadn't seen those in a while.
Me neither. I'm looking at it right now. It's like, oh,
so man, maybe this is them coming back. They're just just White Claw.
Apparently, you can get them on Amazon right now. The original New York Seltzer variety pack.
How old are those? Oh my
god. I was gonna say he's not making them in 94.
So I think the original company discontinued, but these are like a brand new company. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's on Amazon though. Like
oh yeah,
they're calling it the original New York Seltzer.
That's yeah, that's them bringing it back.
It's yeah. on
it
Walmart
is,
too.
Bring it back.
Congratulations, helping guys! Them here. You can go relive your 20s.
It's in Kroger.
I wish it was my 20s. It was black cherry. It wasn't the raspberry. I like the black.
Holy
cherry.
Holy crap! They're so expensive on Amazon. Who's spending $42 for a pack of 12?
Well, they were probably like $2 get the same price
in the
for.
90s.
It's probably the same price for White Claw. Like,
yeah, I'll just buy LaCroix. Thanks. They have like 19 flavors.
My bone saying Clearly Canadian was the best.
The 12 pack through the website itself, it looks like it's $18.
Oh, this is just someone trying to rip you off.
Yeah, it's out of stock. So they, you know, snatched them all up so they could check up the price.
You can get a 4-pack of Clearly Canadian for $20.
About Bartles and James. Can we still get Bartles and James?
I don't know.
Wine cooler still a thing?
That is true. They are still a thing.
I think my dad still has some in the garage from my graduation.
Bartles and
you
James
just
cans
and
stuff.
Blues
now.
Farm at a party some the other day.
Why are you doing shots of Boone's Farm?
I don't know. People are weird. Dan,
do you want to drink more of it than that?
Well, okay, yeah. I don't want to drink any Boone's Farm.
No,
I'm not 17.
I'm still a fan of Strawberry Hill.
Well, Wendy, what's on your chat for today?
Oh, so I found that Brewbound released their 2023 award winners for their Up and Rising Stars. So I thought we'd go over those and what they had to say. Large Brewery of the Year was Athletic Brewing Company. Pretty sure that's not surprising to anybody. Beyond Beer Company of the Year was the Beatbox Beverages. I have no idea what that is. Has anybody heard of them?
I think they sell wines. I'm pretty sure I've seen these before.
Founded in 2013 by three people, Party Punch maker Beatbox Beverages is just beginning to hit its stride. The Austin, Texas-based company posted triple-digit off-premise growth this year, coming on the heels of more than doubling its sales from 800,000 cases shipped to more than 2 million in 2022, gained national placements in 7-Eleven, and launched a partnership with Dan's favorite pop artist, Avril Lavigne.
Oh, yeah. She's
those
not bad.
Efforts have Beatbox poised to sell just under 140,000 barrels of product by year's end.
It looks like they make wine-based and malt-based.
Wait, Dan,
stuff.
You don't like Avril Lavigne?
No, I said she's not bad.
Oh.
Yeah, Dan was a skater boy. She said, see you later, boy.
Well, I'm going to show you. I wish I could show
really,
this.
She didn't say that.
Ken, maybe you can show this on the stream. If this isn't elder abuse, I just shared it with you guys privately. I don't know what is. Picture taken directly from their website.
I from their website. Okay, so you're not following too much crazy. I can
no,
I can share this real quick
directly from their website.
Once, hold on. I'm still learning this brand. Like I
sorry,
want
I
to
put
share.
You on the spot too. I just
yeah. I know.
But it's like, it's okay. Oh god,
there we go.
This is an elder abuse. I don't know what we're doing.
Is she rocking it?
Yeah.
Is she loving this hoodie like we love the Michigan beer box hoodie.
Dude, that's probably their grandma.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I have an awesome picture of my grandma in a loaded dice hat.
Okay, nice. That's fair. That might be. I'm just like, oh man, what are they doing?
My grandma's always willing to support me and my friends. The beer champions of the year were the National Black Brewers Association's founding members. They actually, yesterday, they announced the National Black Brewers Association announced Molson Coors as one of their new partners, too. So I thought that was kind of cool. The person of the year is Garrett Marrero from Maui Brewing, the founder and CEO. And the Brewbound Rising Stars are Alvarado Street Brewing in Monterey, California. Big Grove Brewing from Iowa City, Iowa. How did I not make it there?
Iowa City? What were you doing
in
Iowa City?
I was in Iowa City.
And you missed
it? When I went to Toppling and Goliath, I actually went back over to Iowa City and hit some breweries while I was there.
Apparently there was no Iowa beer map
Maybe
app.
I did go there. Wow. I mean, because if you're in Iowa, you got to go to more than one beer town.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm in Iowa, I'm trying to get out as quickly as possible. But
there's no quick way out.
There is no quick way out of Iowa. And every turn's going to have every street's going to have like four or five twists.
Like even Omaha's airport in Iowa, you can't escape. It's like you're trapped. It's like Escape from Iowa. Just kind of like the movie Escape from New York. You're just kind of stuck there.
The stakes are higher, though.
It was a 3.5-hour drive from where I was at in Indiana, Illinois, to get to Decorah. To Iowa City. It would have taken me 45 minutes if I hadn't had to go on all the twists and turns on the roads.
Right.
Welcome to Arizona. Shit.
Crowns and Hops Brewing Company in Inglewood, California. Doka Beer in Oakland, California. I'm pretty sure I probably just massacred that name. Stateside Vodka in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Torch and Crown Brewing Company in New York City. And Trace Brewing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Have you guys been to any of those?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. I've heard of Alvarado Street, I think.
I think I have too.
Yeah, Alvarado Street, I believe they had a very big, I believe they're a Hispanic-owned brewery, if I'm not mistaken, or I might be thinking of a brewery in Colorado because this is in California. Nope, I think I'm on the wrong one. Go on.
Okay. I was just near Oakland.
I'm sorry. What were you doing? You survived. So
I survived, congratulations. Yeah, thanks. I was working in San Jose.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, flying through San Francisco. All of that's nearish Oakland.
So I was thinking of okay. So I want to make sure I get this corrected. I was thinking of Atrevida in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
That's where I just got those shirts from.
I was like, Alvarado, I think that's it, but it's Atrevida.
Nope, different one. So I am mistaken. I just looked it up and I recognized the patio from the Iowa City Big Grove Brewing Company. Their facility is flipping amazing. And it was probably, I mean, I was wearing a winter coat and I still wanted to go sit on the patio. It was so cool. Like, if you get a chance to go and visit this brewery, do it because it's fucking cool as hell. I haven't gotten to go to any of the other ones. What are some of the rising stars that you guys can think of?
Rising stars. Oh, geez. I think you kind of put us on the spot here.
Yeah,
I did that for a reason.
I mean, is Ogma still considered a rising star? Like they're really fucking good at what they do over there in Jackson.
Yes, they are.
I'm trying to think of where I've been like super impressed with like beer or the brewery or the brewer. I hate to not hate to say it. I think that there is an underrated brewery, and I think Artisan Reserve is a superior underrated brewery over in Romulus, Michigan. That is just a brewery that had bad luck trying to open during the pandemic. A lot of bad stuff happened, but that dude makes very clean beer. Every time I've been in there, great beer. I'm trying to think of what else would be like new hotness here in Michigan, but I can't really think of too much that isn't that's new. What's new in Michigan? I should know this.
So I run the map. I've got one.
Go on.
I've got one that you might agree with. I think you've been there, Ken. Hopside out of Alpena, especially with them adding the distillery.
I have not drank out there. I only stopped by there to drop off a window decal.
Stickers. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, they're from the start, really clean beer, really good beer. There was one that they kind of overshot with. They put too much in. They were trying to do like a Butterfinger stout, but it was still good. It was just really cloudy. That was the one thing. But especially with them adding a distillery on top of it, I think they're a really underrated brewery simply because of where they're located. And you could kind of clump Austin Brothers in there too, though they distribute, but I don't think either of those get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, those are definitely great up north. Now that I'm actually looking at the list of breweries from our list, one of the things I do want to make a note is Cognition over in Marquette is a very, very good brewery. And the second one that I think is a little bit sneaky that a lot of people might pass over and not really understand, and that's the Cadillac Winery. It's in Leroy, Michigan. It's not in Cadillac, no. It's in Leroy, Michigan. I think that'd be another like great upcoming brewery, to say the least. There's plenty of breweries. Michigan, mibeermap.com is our website. Of course, you could download our app, which shows you every single brewery, meadery, and cidery in the state of Michigan and when they open. So you'll know if there's things that are upcoming, what's going on, and of course, upcoming beer festivals, which there isn't really too much upcoming other than the Brewsology Beer Fest, which is going to be coming up in March of next year.
What about you, Rob? We haven't heard from you yet.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Indiana beers, which aren't going to help you all too much, but or there's not gonna be too much
overlap. I mean, we're a national podcast. We get a lot of listeners.
So one I'm excited about is Kismetic Brewing. It's on the east side of Indianapolis, so I don't get out there easily, but they do a lot of the traditional styles. They do some of the newer stuff too, but mostly the traditional styles. But they, I don't know if they make everything with tea, but they make a lot of stuff with tea as well. It just adds a nice mild flavor, you know, a little extra something to them. They have a Hefeweizen with tea that is delicious. I absolutely love it. There's a brewery on the northeast side. I think it's in Fishers, called Primeval Brewing. I would happily name drop them anytime. They are doing some spectacular German style beers, as well as some of the, you know, the more American trendy stuff, but their German style beers are just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
I get to look at those right now. They look pretty good.
The Kismetic
or Hellas, the Primeval.
They
got a Rausch too, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would put forth Daredevil as well. I don't know if they can still be considered up and coming because they've been around for quite a while, but they lead with their IPAs, which are good, but they're just, you know, another IPA in the field. But they also will often have a Rausch. Their Kolsch is just wonderful. It's really delicious, and it's usually on tap. Then they've got a few other styles like that, the more traditional stuff. Yeah, if people are ever heading through, Primeval's a great stop. Kismetic is a great stop. It's just in a weird location if you're heading through.
So I was trying to find the name of a brewery in Denver that I went to that was, it's actually outside of Denver on the way to Golden, which I thought it was amazing, but I can't find the name, so I'll have to post it later.
There's so many breweries there too. It's hard to let me look through a list and see or the map. And
there's so many that I went through. I've talked about it on the show before because it was an amazing brewery. It's woman owned, women brewing it. It was, the beer was so good. I ended up staying there for like an extra hour than I planned on. So
nice.
That one I definitely wanted to bring out. Agma's one of my favorites too. And I still think Arclight, even though they've been around for a while, I think people just don't know how good they really are at what they do.
Arclight's always been a great beer spot. And their distribution's very, very limited, typically to kegs at bars. So you don't really get to it, but their sour program that they have over there? Yeah, they're Soursmith. That's what a lot of people hark on when they talk about Arclight and show the love for it. If you actually follow the Michigan Reddit, Michigan Beer Reddit, you'll see a lot of people, and by a lot of people, one person who always posts about Lost Art beer. And a lot of their beer looks really fucking good, but it's such a hike from where I am to where it's hard to really go and try. That's the downfall of being a craft beer fan is sooner or later you can't just go out and go somewhere just for a beer. Especially when there's, you went there for your birthday?
And I went on Halloween and they were doing beer and candy pairing. So every beer you ordered, they gave you candy to go with it. It was kind of fun. I liked it. Nice.
I did go to three wonderful breweries out in San Jose. Camino Brewing is one I would strongly recommend if you're ever in that area for some reason. I saw a wonderful hockey game for one thing, but then the lady who was working the bar, it turns out she's on the brew crew too, and she was happy to talk beer for a while because I'm the weird solo guy in the bar. And it was just, the beer was all spectacular. It was so clean and well done that they've got to be going places if they, I don't know how old they are or anything though. We didn't talk about that stuff.
All right. Go on, Wendy.
When I was in Iowa too, in Decorah, there's a brewery besides Toppling Goliath called Pulpit Rock, which was amazing. But then we went to another one called Pivo Brewing. And they were so spot on. They had a million different varieties, and they were so true to style. And it was amazing. Like, Ken, you would have loved that place. A lot of beer-flavored beer.
Beer-flavored beer. That's what I'm here for. Not in flight. Not in flight format, though, of course, right?
And fucking spot on. It was delicious.
I didn't do a flight at Camino. I did three different 5-ounce pours, or 2 5-ounce pours and 2 10-ounce pours is what I did. But
that's like a flight sequentially. Does not approve.
It was sequentially.
No, they did not follow all 4 months.
Don't you dare try multiple beers at a brewery you might not ever go back to. You need to order one beer. That's it.
First of all, I've never said that specific sentence. I've never said you have to only have one beer and then you're done. Second of all, flights are annoying, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So we're going to my topic. That's
an opinion.
It's a right opinion. Remember, Dan, my show.
here come the 1-star reviews. Good job.
I can mute now that I have StreamYard. I can mute you all. I can just say screw you all. I don't care about your opinion. It's my show.
I'll just log in first and take control.
I got nothing after that. That was all a joke, by the way, folks. If you're listening, that's
no 1-star reviews, please.
Yeah, at least give us 2 stars.
Oh, I thought we were being told to give him a 1-star review.
No, we'll have to fill you in one
day. Better on Draft is made possible thanks to our sponsor, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan. Open Tuesday to Sunday, North Center provides a fun atmosphere with amazing beer. Try their Bobby English while playing shuffleboard, or wash down their classic Reuben sandwich with a glass of painkiller. Find them online at northcenterbrewing.com.
Better on Draft is sponsored by Zatuna Liquor, located on Rochester Road in Rochester Hills. Go visit Jack and see why he is known as one of the best beer and bourbon stores in the state. A large variety of singles, wine, booze, and snacks, Zatuna Liquor is your one-stop shop before a party. Better on Draft is sponsored by Craft Tapped. Currently located in 11 states, including Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, Craft Tapped is a monthly subscription that pays for itself after just one visit to your local brewery. Use the code BOD at checkout and receive 15% to any membership, not just for Michigan fans. For Michigan fans, get 50% off your first two pints at each venue you go to, including Better on Draft sponsored North Center Brewing and 2022 March Draftness winner Copper Hop in St. Clair Shores.
I wanted to kind of branch off a little bit about the first topic we did with craft beer for episode 334, which we talked about, growlers to go, having the UKEG, having the canned beer that you could turn into a draft beer. And my article talks about the struggle of getting craft breweries to get folks to take beer home. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I love drinking craft beer at home because then I don't have to drive anywhere and I can get silly and sloppy and watch TV and have fun. So when I go to a brewery, I'm very limited when I decide what I want to drink. I don't overdrink, overpartake. I make sure that, you know, I use my little backtrack if I know I'm going to be out for a little bit. So to-go beer is very important. As we've talked about on the show, Dan and I earlier this year, we were in Texas. Dan was the one that could get sloppy and silly and have all these high ABV beers while we're going from brewery to brewery. I, on the other hand, focused a little bit more on the to-go beers so that when we got back to our Airbnb, I could, you know, chain drink beer as if it's a cigarette lighting the next cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
We can catch up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So has your, over the past 5 years, it said that to-go beer for breweries minus the 2020-2021 bump for a lot of people buying to-go beer, it's finally retracted below 2019 standards. Do you like to take beer home when you go to a brewery? Not a beer store, not a beer bar, but a brewery. Are you taking beer home? And what's your most preferred method to take beer home? Starting with Wendy.
It depends on the beer. Because if I really like it and I know I'm going to drink it within the next day or two, I'll take a growler. I have way too many growlers, though. So, and I stopped leaving them in my car because a lot of places weren't doing growlers during the pandemic. So I don't have... I don't carry a growler around anymore. So generally I will bring home cans, but I do like to bring home beer from the brewery because I'm supporting that brewery directly.
Rob?
Yeah, I also bring home beer from breweries when I can, when I know I'm going to be able to drink it in the near future. So the main brewery I go to on a Tuesday night. I don't usually drink Wednesday and Thursday. Will, but not always. So that growler's in my fridge for a few days before I get to it. So that's kind of, that becomes, you know, that's the equation I have to balance. But then I also will sometimes go to a place on Saturdays, Friday or Saturday, that's a bike ride away, so I can fill myself up and then fill up a growler and bike the growler home for the weekend.
Dan, what about you?
So going to a brewery specifically, if they can do a crowler, Wendy brought up something interesting. I don't think I've gotten a growler since pre-COVID. If I have, I don't remember. But if I can do a crowler somewhere, and it's a beer I like, definitely. There's one brewery here down the street, and the way they price everything, you can get a pint for $7 or a crowler for $10. So I'll definitely bring that home. I mean, that's a great deal. And I'm like, can you just like pour it into a crawler and not put a lid on it so I can just not have to keep ordering? But they don't. They're like, no, we can't do that. But typically if I want to get cans or like crawler fills, if it's not for a brewery, I'm typically going to go to the beer store. Usually when I go to a brewery, it's to drink it there, which I think is what they're seeing now that we can all go back out again.
Yeah, I haven't bought to-go beer. So again, my story about Texas was like a one weekend trip. Like it was just a specific thing here in Michigan.
We loaded at Whippet.
Oh my God. Whippin.
Whip in. Not the Devo song.
Yeah, no. Whip in Austin, Texas. Holy fuck. That food was good, and that had a little kick to it too.
Yeah, that was really good. I agree.
I feel that if I'm going to a brewery, like as Dan said, I'm going there to just drink beer and then I'm going home. Like I'm not gonna really take anything from there home. There's usually no reason for me to, because I'm not going to drink that much at home. Plus I've got my keg at home. Plus I've got beer at home. Like I remember the days of bringing stuff home and going to Zatuna Liquor all the time and bringing home, you know, $150, $200 worth of beer. Those days have just kind of passed me now. And I don't know if it's really like a burn
now craft. Now you're bartering for a dollar.
Listen, you too can get Wolverine Massacre 2017 for a dollar a bottle. As long as you promise to pay a dollar a bottle for some of the other beers that, you know, might not be shelf stable. I shouldn't say shelf stable. They aren't like open firm or
they're not blowing up like brick cans.
Yeah, they're not blowing up, but they're definitely got some age to it. If I'm buying a beer that says Arcadia Ales on it and doesn't say Superfluid, you know, I know I'm buying a beer that's like 5 years old. But I mean, how many times I remember when I was buying Axel cans during the COVID years? Like it's one of those things to where if I can get a deal on it, that's great. But for taking to go beers from a brewery, I mean, I think those days are kind of over for me. I think it was great back in the days when like the three options in Metro Detroit, like kind of where we were Black Lotus, Dragonmead, and Kunin. And those beers weren't necessarily on the shelves. So you went and got it to drink home so you could have it at home for the times that you're drinking. Now I can go to fucking 7-Eleven and Steve's Party Store and, you know, John's Pizzeria that has beer to go, and I can get beer from there. Like it's.
So tomorrow I think I'm going to do home brewing stuff and go with a friend, pick up supplies and whatnot. That's probably what we're doing. So we'll be going to Great Fermentations. A lot of homebrewers have definitely ordered from them online. But right next door is Beer Brewery. And so we will definitely bring growlers and get beers filled to bring home, because that's what you drink while you homebrew.
Absolutely. Do you, quick question, I don't want to derail it completely. Are you doing whole all grain over a propane burner, or what do you do?
No, I just boil water on my stove.
Extract. Okay.
Yeah, extract. Yeah.
Have you ever tried brewing a bag, doing 3 gallons instead of 5 on the stovetop?
I brew about 2.5 gallons to 3 gallons on the stovetop, and then I top up to 5 afterward. So it is
you're doing extract
bag. Yeah.
Look into
well, it's grain in a bag.
Brew in a bag. Okay, that's what I was talking about.
Perfect. Yeah, I've done the whole grain with my brother-in-law before. We had a lot of fun doing that too.
Nice. Sorry,
but yeah.
In the chat on YouTube, Waffo says
kit from
what's that, Wendy?
Oh, sorry, it stopped. Here, am I not talking?
We're waiting on you. Yes,
yeah. Here, yeah.
Oh, okay. that 1 gallon brew kit from Brooklyn. That's an all grain kit.
Yeah, okay. Typically 1 gallons are. Typically 1 gallons are. Yep. Anyways, go ahead, Ken. We got
all right. Yeah, from YouTube, Waffo says for some reason most breweries around here charge more for a growler fill than a 4-pack of 16 ounces.
Ouch.
The math doesn't work out. 72 ounce versus 64 ounce. Plus, I don't have to drink it all at once. If you're charging more for 4 pints for the growler, then I don't know what you're doing. That sounds like a poor business decision, to say the least. Unless it's a beer that you want to make sure is there. Like if this is a growler of a beer that's like your stationary beer and you're almost out of it or whatever, like to lose that in-person sale, that's probably the only reason I could think of where you would charge more.
We did at the end of one night once order 4 pints of a beer and pour it into a growler and left.
So that's a good point. The beer store I typically go to right up the street here, a lot of times they'll have Speedway Stout on draft and they'll have Speedway Stout in 4 packs and singles. The Speedway Stout crawler is going to cost $16. A Speedway Stout 4-pack is $13.99. Why am I getting a crawler if I can get a 4-pack for a couple dollars less?
Fresher.
Fresher.
I guess.
There are some price decisions and sale decisions that people make that I quite don't understand. Like we talked about, like if it's a beer that you don't want to leave the building, but that person is very adamant about taking a growler home, sure, I'm going to charge you more for it. Cause maybe it's your specialty beer or a beer that you want people to make sure that it lands to more people, like more people get a chance to drink it. Sure. Great. Perfect. Understand. But if you're selling, like if it was a brewery that's selling $4 a pint and then the growler is $20, I'd be like, let's take a look back at this. So you guys still, I, it's rare when I go buy a beer or bring a beer home from a brewery, unless it's just a beer that I could never really even get naturally. And even then it's still a rare case. But I think a lot of people are still wanting to support that local brewery. They want to support bringing a growler home, bringing cans home, et cetera, which is perfectly fine. So this is from a former guest of Better on Draft, Andrew Kaplan of the Secret Hopper, who does a lot of data-driven points for sales within the Secret Hopper. So yeah, that's going to do it for the Craft Beer News segment, December 8th, 2023. For myself, Wendy, Rob, and Dan, we appreciate you listening, of course, every Friday night, 7:15 p.m. Eastern. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Cheers.